turn to 2 Timothy. I'm just sharing my heart, folks. It's important that we take time to learn and to study the Word of God.
2 Timothy chapter 2.
Teach others and take time to ask questions. If we don't
verse
know,
2.
Let's find out.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. We're going to read several references this morning, and then we're going to go back and look at some things. Hopefully it will help us for the year. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who also shall be able to teach, who shall be able to teach others also. And the things which thou hast heard of me among witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Now, if you would also turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
On my life, and show me from the Word of God where you stand.
Verse 15.
I can show you.
To study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if you would turn back to Luke chapter 14.
I'm a charge card. I have a charge since 8 years, but I'm still paying out things that broke 10 years ago. Temporal things. They came to pass. They were important for a while.
Verse 26 through 33.
Every while they wore out, or I sold them, or I did this or that, and now they're gone. I'm still paying for them.
If any man come to me and hate not his father, or his mother, his wife, children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he had laid the foundation, not able to finish it, and behold, began to mock him, saying, This man began to build, but not able to finish. For what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth now not down first and consulteth whether he be able to, with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him, or with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, and sendeth an ambage and desire conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever of you that forsaketh not all that hath cannot be my disciple. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day, for your blessings, and for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to teach this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to be in thy house today. Lord, I pray that we would all be learners today. Lord, I pray you to accomplish your will in our lives. Pray for Brother Schwartz as he's it would work this morning. I pray you watch over and take care of him there. Lord, I just pray you to accomplish your will in each and every life throughout this day. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, I was thinking this week on what to teach on. I'll begin to think about this year. This year is on, we have our discipleship classes. I begin to think, is discipleship important? Is discipleship important? Is it important as believers for us to be discipled? And I begin to think of all the years, folks that came through our church that I believe were genuinely saved. I believe they were saved and they were sincere, and they stayed for a while, and then they're gone. And then Brother Haxton always tell me about a friend of mine he met this morning from years gone by that got in church and got saved, and now he's just about an atheist by his own admission. You know, this confirmed in me this message. Folks, I believe it's important for us, especially the other day, to either be discipled or be a discipler in the year 2010. I think that we've lost enough of our family and our members and friends to the world. The books come in and they get saved. Turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. You know, I need some volunteers to come up this morning real quick. Brother Napier, can you just come up real quick for a second? And Brother Blanton, if you come up real quick for a second. And Brother Allen, if you'll come up real quick for a second. Brother Haddix, if you'll come up real quick for a second. Okay, this first. Napier, you stand right here. Brother Allen, you stand right here. And Brother Blanton, you stand right here. And Brother Haddix, you should stand right here. Okay, this verse says, "The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul's done to Timothy, I've taught you the Word of God. I've taught you right. I've taught you wrong. Timothy, I've taught you the whole counsel of God. I've taught you these things, Timothy. Now you teach others the same thing that they in turn may learn, and they may teach others the same thing that they in turn may learn, that they may in turn teach others the same thing, that they may also learn, they may in turn teach others the same thing. Now, just think, if every believer that had been won to Christ had learned the counsel of God, and they in turn had taught another person in the church the counsel of God, and they in turn had turned to another church, a person in the church should have taught the whole counsel of God. It's important that we as believers know the whole counsel of God. It's important that we take time to learn things that we might train others also. Okay, thank you, gentlemen. So easy that was. That's easy, wasn't it, Brother Clinton? Okay, now, another thing. Turn over, look over at verse 15. He said, "Eventually, but I'm not able to learn these things." Well, 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed." Look at that again. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed." Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. You know what a workman is? It's a laborer. A common laborer. Be a workman. It doesn't take a college degree to know the Word of God. It doesn't take it to know all of the fancy words and all of the theologies and the pneumatology and soteriology. It doesn't take to know all the fancy words to know the Word of God. It doesn't take a higher education to know the Word of God. It takes study. It takes when God's people decide, I need to be a disciple. I need to learn the things of the Word of God that I may in turn teach others. And folks, I don't care how much education we have or how much education that we don't have. That does not dictate how God can speak to my heart. What dictates is if I study. Look at Proverbs. We still got an action verse in Proverbs. God does not bless laziness. God does not bless laziness. And our Bible says the same way. God does not bless laziness. If I'm willing to put into my Bible study the time to study, to look things up, God's going to reveal things to me through His Word. So many Christians can come to church for 10, 15, 25 or 30 years and then come up and ask a basic question on a basic doctrine that's been preached over and over and over again for all of those years? Is it because it's not being taught? No. Is it because they're dumb? No. They've never put forth the effort to study those truths, and God did not dwell those truths in their heart. How much time do we as believers spend in the Word of God each week to study? I'm not saying how much time do we read the Word of God. How much time do we take and study the Word of God? To take time and to look verses up, to look up words and meanings. One word could have five meanings. One word can have four or five meanings. Just came to my house and he painted my room for my dog. Okay? A real wild color. What's a wild color? Bright orange. Okay? I got a bright orange room and I got a big light bulb in my bright orange room. And I come in, I say, Brother Haddix, that room is loud. What am I saying? It's bright. Why? I'm referring to the paint. Now, if Brother Alan Gill comes to my house and he installs me a stereo system. He installs a stereo system that's out of this world. I mean, I got speakers in the kitchen. I got speakers in the bathroom. I got speakers in the shower. I got speakers everywhere.
And Godzilla goes down my room, my road one day, and he hears the music. He says, "Man, that room is loud." What's he saying? Music is loud. I can hear it. One loud I see, one loud I hear. What's the difference? Context determines definition. And when we study the Word of God, it's important that we take and we look at the context and we look things up. How much time, not do we read the Word of God, how much time do we study the Word of God? several reasons why it's important for us to study the Word of God. The first reason is for stability in our life. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man and to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. The first reason that we should study and be discipled is that there'd be some stability in our life and that we could grow up. You know, I heard the old saying that everybody loves a baby, but nobody loves a big baby. Everybody loves a baby, but nobody loves a big baby. There's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ. That's part of growing. Being a babe in Christ. But why would I desire to stay a babe in Christ when I've been saved for 15 or 20 or 25 or 30 or 35 years? A big baby eventually falls away. How sad a church is to have a member who's been here for 25 or 30 years that one day gets mad and leave. Addicts talked to this morning. He met this morning, a friend of mine. He got exposed, we got saved, we got in church, got mad and left. One of two things: either he was never saved, or he never matured in the faith. So part of the reason that discipleship is that we grow up. Turn to Hebrews 13:9. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. A is the building and growth. B is the building and knowledge. Hebrews chapter 13. And in verse 9, be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which we had not profited them that have been occupied therein. Be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. I know, I call them on the news and report the news that how quickly that Baptists are going from the Baptist faith to other denominations. How quickly they're going from the Baptists to Jehovah's Witness to the Mormons to these cults, and you know, and they say by flocks people are leaving Baptist churches. What's happened? They've never been discipled. They've never been taught. They don't know what truth in areas. And part of discipleship is to be stable in growth, to be stable in knowing the truth. So number one, for stability. Now number two, for service. Look at Ephesians 4:15. Ephesians chapter 4, and this verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head of Christ. I believe it's important that we learn to grow and we learn to teach. It'd be a sad fact if none of us here today ever learned to teach others about Christ. We never learned to win others to souls to Christ, and we never learned to teach others about the doctrines of Christ. And then one day, Brother Haddix passes away.
And then Brachycephalus passes away. And then Mystichos passes away. Then I pass away. Then Mick and his wife and daughter, they pass away. And then Miss Force passes away. Who's building the church as members pass off? Wouldn't it be sad for us not to learn to win others and teach others that the church might continue to grow on? God has promised to bless the church. But God's given the church some responsibilities as well. Folks, it's not just a pastor's job to be a discipler. Last Sunday, I think we said we average, what, average 199 last month on Sunday morning, something like that. He can't go to every home and disciple every family. It's important that we learn that we're disciples for steadfastness. We're disciples for service. And then thirdly, disciple for sanctification. Ephesians chapter 4 again, verse 20. Ephesians 4:20. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that there heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and then you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteous and true holiness. It's important that I take time to learn what God says about sanctification. Sanctification is being set apart for the use of God. Set apart. How set apart am I? Am I set apart where God can use me? Brother Allen is a painter. Okay? So he got all his paintbrushes and rollers and all his tools, and they're probably all clean. You clean them when you get done, and you're pretty picky about them, and perfectionist, yeah, okay. You know, those are his tools. If he goes tomorrow and there's a brush wore out and he's got an important job for a brush, which brush will he pick? The one that's clean, the one that's usable. Discipleship is for our service. Not only for the things that people see in my life, but so that I'm prepared to be used of God. I believe with all my heart there are some people that I can win to Christ that you can't. There are some people that you can win to Christ that I can't. I believe with all my heart that God brings into our lives people that are prepared to receive the gospel. It's important that their heart be prepared to receive the gospel, but it's important that my heart be prepared to give the gospel. I pray for prepared hearts. And I said, God, is my heart prepared? Why? Their heart has to be prepared, but my heart needs to be prepared as well. Part of discipleship is preparing my heart to serve the Savior. I learn, I grow, and as God brings into my life folks that I can help, then my heart is prepared to help them. I've used illustration before. It says many years ago, I went through a situation in my life when I was just overwhelmed. I said, God, nobody knows how I feel. Nobody knows. Lord, I said, they have no idea how I feel. And I looked, I read the scriptures, and I thought, Lord, I get no comfort. I mean, I was at wit's end. And I said, Lord, what do I do? Lord, I don't know which way to turn. Lord, I prayed, I read my Bible, and Lord, I just don't know. And God brought an individual's name to my mind. I had no idea why. He's a friend of mine. I respect him, but I had no idea why God brought him to my mind in the situation. I said, Lord, he don't know. He don't understand these things. So I went to the national church. I said, Brother So-and-so, I need to talk to you a little bit. We went back to that. You've been to the office. We went back to the offices back then. I said, Brother So-and-so, I said, I just got to tell somebody the situation. I told him. He began to cry and cry. He said, I've been through the same thing. I know how you feel. He just hugged me. I was comforted. While this heart had not been prepared to reveal to me, he'd been through the same thing. If this heart had not been prepared to minister to my need at that time, I would not have been ministered to. But God had prepared his heart
the things he had been through and his love for Christ, that he was prepared to minister to the divine heart. Folks, it's important that we be discipled, that God might use us in different ways of life. But whenever I don't want to take time to study and take time to learn and let God work in my heart and my life, you know, we're always ashamed to share things sometimes. But I believe with all my heart that God allows us to go through things that one day I might share with others that I've been through it. And here's how God worked in my heart. Here's how God worked in my life. And here's what God, how he uses his word in my life for that special thing. That's why when hard times come, we can choose to continue to be a disciple of Christ and say, Lord, I don't understand it. Lord, it doesn't make sense. Lord, it makes no sense at all. And we can choose to walk away and quit becoming a learner. Or I can become a worker. I begin to study and to pray and say, Lord, in your time, I know that what I was talking to Brother Hood one time. Brother Hood was a deacon here for many years. When he was talking to us, Brother Hood, I said, there's so much stuff I don't understand. He said, Rick, when God's ready for it to come on, the light always comes on. So I began to pray and read. Stuff I didn't understand, I trusted God. I said, God, I understand it. And then one day I might be reading or studying or hearing a teacher talk to somebody, and the light switch comes on. Why? We choose not to walk away, but we choose to stay steadfast. It is important. Our discipleship is important for our stability. It's important for our service. It's important for our sanctification. Turn back to Luke chapter 4:14. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, than his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether it be has sufficient to finish it? Lest haply he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, then behold, it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth down first, consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, sendeth an ambassador that desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple. Discipleship is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to forsake all and to trust him. It's not an easy thing to step out by faith and say, God, I'm going to trust you. God, I can't track you. I can't see where you're going. But God, I'm going to trust you. It's not an easy thing to take time to invest in the Word of God and to study and to take time away from some of our brother hobbies that we might spend time in the Word of God. That's not an easy thing. But, you know, a coin. Does anybody have a coin? Do they have you got a coin? Give me a coin. Coin has... I got $10 over the years this way. I save my coins. I give for illustration. Put in my pocket, put in the bank. I get $10 in coins. You know, this coin has two heads. It's got a heads. It's got a tails. The discipleship is not easy, but they close with count the cost. What would it cost me to be a disciple of Christ? Oh, it's going to cost some things. But what if I don't be a disciple of Christ? What will it cost me? See, many times all we look at is what we see immediately. But what if, Alan, you chose when as a young married man not to be a disciple of Christ and not to grow? Brother Scott, what if a young man you chose not to be a disciple of Christ and not to grow, but live life the way you want to? Well, what would it cost us? I begin to think one day, I've lost friends because of serving Christ. I've lost some things. But all the things I've gained have no comparison to things I've lost. Prayed for my dad many years. I was sitting in my office in Texas one day, Texas church. Phone rang. Mom said, "Ricky, Daddy just got saved." Nothing to be compared with what I lost. The week I was able to be at Brother Woodry's hospital room. Years of folks praying and witnessing and going to him. Years of him rejecting Christ and cursing the name of Christ. "Rick, I'm ready. I'm ready to believe." Oh, the friends I've lost, the heartaches I've had, no comparison to the joy of seeing Gene Woodry accept Christ as a Savior. I'm blessed of God to have two children. To see them raising their kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord the way they were raised. Oh, not a comparison. Count the cost. Because that has been a growing thrive in the church for years. Because people loved each other, prayed one for another, taught each other. If you ask the Wilsons and Twillies and some others that was here back in the early days, a lot of fellowship. But don't you remember people come to your house all the time? A lot of fellowship, a lot of discipleship. Produce the mature saints of God. Folks, if we don't continue discipling, right, it'd be easy for a while. We can kick back and take it easy for a while and enjoy life and don't have to study, don't have to worry about making people mad, offending people. Oh, it'd be easy for a while. But the day will come when there'll be a man that stands in the pulpit. Doesn't preach from the King James Version anymore. There'd be folks in the church that have no care one for another. It'd be a social club. Personally, that would never happen. Oh, you'd be surprised. I was just off just for a second. We'd cut it off.